Hello there, and welcome to the Cinema Cafe podcast, the film podcast by the fans for the fans. This is episode 96, and my name is Joshua Liu.
And I'm Penny Lamb.
And we'd like to thank everyone for joining us as we review new movie releases, talk some film news, and share our general love for all things cinema. There's a lot of love to go around, and we want to share. Now, if you have any comments or feedback, you can always reach us at cinemacafepodcast@gmail.com. Also, remember to review the show on iTunes and check out our blog at cinemacafepodcast.blogspot.com. So we are back after taking a week off as Penny traveled away, went away to Greece and Cyprus, and she is finally back and, you know, itching, I would say, Penny, to do this podcast.
Yeah, I'm right? Jet lagged, and he's like, we gotta record the podcast. I'm like, really? So I was like, why didn't you do it while I was away? He's like, no.
Gotta have this with
gotta
you, Penny.
Gotta wait for you.
Exactly. So,
gee,
Penny, how was Greece and Cyprus?
Hot.
I would imagine hot, right?
Hot.
Exactly.
Hot, hot, hot. Beautiful, hot. Had a good time. Went to my friend's wedding. It was beautiful. There were fireworks, a boat ride. Yeah, all of it. It was amazing.
So, while you were gallivanting around, jet setting, I was stuck at work.
That is
busting
me.
My chops. So, yeah.
That's my thing.
I am quite jealous because it was a really strenuous week of work for, or rather, 2 weeks of work for me. But did the adage of how I always said that, because I've been to Greece. I went to Greece when I was in high school, much, much younger, probably when I was around 15, 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point, and that's when I was really into, you know, Greek mythology. I studied Greek mythology at that time. And so I was really excited. But at a certain point, as much as you're excited about it, after 3 days, all the quote-unquote ruins start to look exactly the same.
Agreed.
And I told you this before
Agreed.
You left. And
I'm like, all these columns look the same as other
columns. Yeah. You can't even tell the difference between the columns.
Yeah. I mean, the backdrop is different. That's really the main difference.
Yep. So you went to the Acropolis. You went to something about Poseidon, correct?
Yes. Poseidon's temple at
Sunio. Poseidon's temple. I did not get to do that. I went to the Oracle of Delphi.
Which I did not get to do.
Saw the crossroads of Oedipus, where he killed his father. You didn't get to see that, right? But
no.
You got to eat amazing food, so I am jealous
gyros,
of that.
Gyros. Very, very good.
Gyros, is it gyros. Called gyro or gyro?
No, gyros.
Gyro.
Yeah, like, G's like a Y.
G, gyros. Gyros. Oh, gyros. Okay. Like almost like gyros.
Yes.
Gyros.
But not.
Like Eros? Like Eros?
Eros.
Eros.
I don't
I can't
know why
say that.
You just can't copy
I cannot
what
say
I'm
that.
Saying.
I cannot say that. So there you go. So
it's
not a gyro.
G.
It's not a gyro.
Eros.
Okay, cool. Anything else new?
No, I mean, it was amazing. I missed you.
I missed you too. And I am jealous that I didn't get to go. Although, I gotta say, Penny, I couldn't go because I had work. I couldn't take the time off since I had to take all my
was
time off during
was
our
that
wedding.
A fake excuse?
No, no. Well, you know that's the fact. But I have to say, though, I'm not jealous. I would have probably been a tad bit miserable in the heat. That's
yes,
not
you would
thing.
Have died.
All right. So now, since we didn't really get a chance to see in many movies since Penny is away, we're going to talk about a old movie that's probably 3 weeks old, and that's about it. Wanted to try to go see Lawless today, but we didn't get a chance since we had to run a bunch of errands.
Jet lagged.
Yeah, and we had to run a bunch of errands. So this will be somewhat abridged one. With that out of the way, before we get to our our other movie reviews, before our main review, I wanted to quickly talk about something that happened about 2 weeks ago. So this is the beginning of our movie talk back. Only I really have one bit of news I want to talk about. But Tony Scott, action director extraordinaire, such films as Top Gun, Crimson Tide, The Last Boy Scout, and Beverly Hills Cop 2. Of course, and most recently, Denzel Washington vehicle, Unstoppable. And a brother of director Ridley Scott jumped to his death from the Vincent Thomas Bridge in L.A. on August 19th. Oh, so it was actually 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, you're really...
I really is late. He was 68.
Wow, so
this
young.
Incredibly shocking news has hit a lot of people because of not only of the many great films he's created and the legacy Scott has left behind, but the suddenness of his death, leaving behind a suicide note for his family. A lot more details have come out since then about the suicide.
Did it say?
No, they really haven't came out and said anything about it. But, and this is kind of really shocking news considering like how prolific the man is. He had his own style for better or worse. I know a lot of people aren't fans of his style, but I've always been a big fan of the Tony Scott action style. And he's the one that brought in a lot of quote-unquote action cliches, action directing styles that we see today. So it's pretty shocking news. Now, I know, Penny, you didn't grow up a big action movie
no.
fan like I did. But,
I'm a girl.
Yeah, but, I mean, come on, Top Gun.
I know, Top Gun's huge. And I know most people do not know this, but for years, Top Gun is Joshua's, like, top five favorite movies of all time.
It is. I love
I
Top
think
Gun.
It was only recently dethroned because... Lord of the Rings, Return of the King came in and kind of pushed it out.
Pushed it out of the top five.
But, I mean, for years, when I started dating Josh, Top Gun. I was like, really? Top five? I mean...
Top Gun's awesome.
That's not even as bad as some of the other picks, like freaking...
Last Dragon and Bloodsport.
I mean, yep. Jesus. But yes. Among those gems, Top Gun was on of the top five. Yes.
With Citizen Kane?
Yes.
Exactly.
With Citizen Kane.
Yeah, so it is a shocking news. I'm a big fan of all of his movies. Crimson Tide, loved The Last Boy Scout. Beverly Hills Cop 2 was fun. It is a shame. And the suddenness, it literally came out of nowhere.
Actually, when he was
suffering from cancer, so.
That was a rumor that he was suffering from,
but they said it's not
possibly terminal cancer. Yeah. I don't know.
But Ridley Scott came out and said it's not true.
So yeah, we really don't.
So I'm sorry.
You
said you were in Cyprus.
We were in Athens, and Beverly Hills Cop 2 was on the television, and we actually watched
stopped to watch it.
Yes, yeah, it was like the end, so we just stopped to watch the last 45 minutes of it. So.
All right, very nice. Sad news with that away. Our heart and our condolences go out to the family. And as being movie fans, obviously, as we put on this podcast, it is a big thing, especially I love action movies.
Right.
So there's that. All right, with that out of the way, let's get into our quick reviews. These are reviews that we're going to quickly go through. We have four of them, or rather three and a half of them, I would say. I'm saving one possibly for next week before we get to our feature main review. Now, the first one we're going to start off with is The Raid Redemption. Now, this is a 2011 Indonesian action film and is directed by Gareth Evans of Miantau fame. I'm probably totally butchering how to say that. Miantau, I think it was. Pretty good movie. And it's about a group of cops who storm a building run, owned, and lived in by the city's criminals and must battle their way to the top, video game-style floor to take out the gang's boss. Now, Penny, I know before I said, listen, we got to watch this film, you obviously... What is this film that you're talking about? I gotta say though, if you wanted to know what the most action-packed and adrenaline-filled movie you would see all year, it would be this martial arts Indonesian wonder. It takes a classic Asian crime thriller plot of brothers on opposite sides of the law and adds insane action, gunplay, and seriously, it's just insane martial arts. This movie's insane. It's hyper-violent. The deaths in martial arts movies are brutal. There's copious amounts of blood, dismemberment, and insane no-wire stunts. If you've ever wondered what all the hype was surrounding the current crop of movies coming out of Asia, especially Indonesia and Thailand, and wanted a perfect representation of the insanity Asians bring to the martial arts movies, check out Raid Redemption. This movie is huge. I really want to see it. It was blowing up all over the festival. I mean, the plot is cliched and mediocre, but for 100 minutes, you won't have the time to stop and think.
It was action-packed. It was action-packed from the very moment. And you get nervous because as you getting through each level, if you will, each floor to get to the big boss, it's just so much is going on. And yes, it is super cliched, but it still was so interesting because there was just so much action and fighting. It kept your attention.
Yeah, I'm with you. And as you're saying that, it's a thriller in the sense that this is one of the most stressful films.
Oh my God, so stressful.
As a viewer, yeah.
So stressful, suspenseful and like at every turn, people, bad guys, if you will, keep popping out. Mm-hmm. And then, you're hiding and then you're, trying to, I don't know. It's just so much. You're fighting and then you're hiding and then you're trying to creep up higher. And then, more of the story unfolds, if you will, and so on.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of nervous emotion, and easily one of the best action films I've seen in a long time. So for me, Penny, I give this one a DVD/buy. Now, how about you, Penny? A movie that you never even heard about until I was like, hey, we gotta watch
this. I would
say
it's like a DVD rental.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was good. It was, really suspenseful, and it was, it didn't feel long. It was like one of those nice short... Mm-hmm. Movies that was enjoyable.
But this shows you the example of kind of like the Indonesian and Thai films, especially those two countries, in the sense that their plots are basically throwaways.
Right.
I mean, it was good. This is one of the better plots. I've watched Murantau, the director's other film, and that's an insane action feast, but the plot is so bad it makes the film abysmal. But the action is astounding. So that's why Raid Redemption really struck that chord, because it had both. All right, on to our next review, Wrath of the Titans. Now, this is a 2012 fantasy action film directed by Jonathan Liebsman of Battle LA fame, Los Angeles fame, and a sequel to the 2010 Clash of the Titans remake. This film stars...
Yay.
Yeah, exactly. This film stars Sam Worthington as Perseus, who must team up with Queen Andromeda, now played by Rosamund Pike, in order to stop the return of Kronos, father of all gods, who seeks to bring about the destruction of the world. Ralphie Fiennes, Liam Neeson, Bill Nighy, and many others star in this better than the first one, but still not very good, kind of mythological god battles god movie. For me, the first
god
movie...
God versus Titan, you mean.
Exactly. Oh, I mean, there's other gods versus gods, not to give any other plot
right.
points away, but...
yes, don't give any away.
Intricately plotted movie. For me, the first movie was a huge disappointment. I'm a big fan of the original 1981 cult classic, and the remake was just a big, loud piece of awfulness. As it delved too much into cheesy dialogue, surprisingly bad CGI, it was only 2 years ago, and overly dramatic plot points. Now, the sequel is similar, but the dialogue and action have been beefed up, and the CGI, for me, is leaps and bounds better. Just seeing Kronos Rampage is just jaw-dropping. Sam Worthington, he's a good action movie actor, but he's just there.
He's not a good actor, period.
No, he's not, but for action movies with no personalities, I think he's pretty...
I guess he's
but to me,
right.
he doesn't have the larger-than-life personalities that,
he's
like, Arnold...
He's really bad. Like, he's, like, sporting a somewhat... mullet style,
but you know what?
Hair.
But you know what's kind of sad is that if you think about who are the action movie stars that sell movies these days,
it's Sam Worthington.
Like if you think he's sadly the closest equivalent to this modern times as we have to Arnold, Sly, Willis. Think about those marquee names, and obviously he's not up to their level. But just think of those marquee names. Maybe The Rock can sell a movie, but that's about it. You know what I mean? And Sam Worthington is
Jesus
probably
Statham.
I don't think he sells movies though. For me. He does. I run out right
he's
away.
He's still in Expendables.
Yeah. So there is that. But yeah, he's a decent actor, but he has no real personality. What's even better about the sequel, this movie, is that you don't have to have watched the first movie to understand what's going on, as they basically just jettison the plot points from the original movie and start over. And all in all, there is pretty good chemistry with the cast, and it's a big, dumb action flick that, while not amazing, for me, will satisfy the itch for those that are looking for some, you know, God and gone action. So for me, I give this a DVD rental. Penny, how about you? What do you think of Wrath of Titans? I know you don't like the original one either.
Yeah,
not the,
I mean...
Well, not the original one.
Not Clash
you
of Titans.
You haven't seen
the
original one,
from
but...
2010.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all right. Yeah, it was okay. If you want to kill time, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, it's really hard for me
Special effects were quite good.
The special effects were good. I mean, it's just...
Plot was really mediocre.
It was mediocre, and yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a DVD rental. I'd say catch it on TV.
I still think the saddest... fact
on basic cable.
The saddest fact about these are on the airplane. The saddest fact about these two movies is that
I wouldn't even watch
it's
it on,
still
on plane. To
Clash,
be honest.
Clash, and Wrath are still the only two movies that have the reunion of the Schindler's List crew of Liam Neeson and Ralphie Fiennes, which is
so
like the
weird.
Saddest thing when you think about it. I mean, like not even a good action movie, just these really popcorn dumb action flicks.
Yes.
All right, so that's our review of Wrath of Titans. Now, two movies quickly that I saw that Penny didn't get a chance to see while she was away. One is Jeff Who Lives at Home.
Yeah.
This is the new Duplass Brothers film. This is a Penny I've actually been wanting to see for a long time. This is a Duplass film. Duplass Brothers, the most notable one these days is Mark Duplass, who's in a lot of acting roles as well, but these are the guys who did Cyrus as well as The Puffy Chair. They're basically the kind of, if you talk about what's one of the most important modern independent movements, it's the mumblecore movement, and the Duplass brothers are probably the, maybe not the creators of mumblecore, but maybe the most prominent members of mumblecore. Now, Jeff Who Lives at Home is their first film for me that I've seen. It's not mumblecore at all.
Oh, really?
It's a traditional straight narrative. For those that don't know mumblecore is basically mainly improv, and it's shot in a way that the discussions are real life. So a lot of people think it's boring. Like, when you and I are talking in real life, we may basically almost mumble to you. You won't have to enunciate.
Right.
Everything, but in a film you always enunciate, so a lot of times it may be a little hard to pick up what they're saying because it's real life,
and they're just making it up as they go along. They have a loose
script
of
but
what
the dialogue
has to happen,
is all
but the dialogue is all on you
so I'm always fascinated by mumblecore movement. A lot of the films,
I think I just call that laziness on the writer's part.
Well, I think it's a lot more difficult, and a lot of times it's
but then you have to hire actors that can actually do
that's what the actors are far superior
but the actors have to be superior, the writing not so much.
This is not a mumblecore film.
It.
This all right, this stars Ed Helms and Jason Segel as brothers. Jason Segel still lives at home with his mother at 30 years old in the basement, and Ed Helms has to having a marriage that's fallen apart, and these brothers don't get along, and it's basically finding them trying to find a medium with their mother, played by Susan Sarandon. And you know, I was really excited to see this because
this story sounds vaguely familiar.
And you know, I was really excited to see this, and I have to say, it's okay. It's not as good as I thought it was going to be. Not as good as Cyrus. I thought Cyrus was amazing.
I did not think it was amazing.
I love Cyrus.
It was okay. It was awkward many times.
Puffy chair is amazing, but again, I'm a big fan of Mumblecore.
But that storyline sounds really familiar, like Cyrus. A son that's awkwardly attached to his mother.
These aren't awkwardly attached to their mothers at all. They just lives at home because he's a... Jay Siegel's a loser.
So is Cyrus.
This is a very traditional narrative, even over the other Mumblecore movies. You know, and again, it's an independent mainstream movie, kind of. And I don't know if this was the most successful of the Duplass Brothers movies, but I would imagine so. Their films don't necessarily make movies money. But if you like... I don't know. It's kind of coming of age story, even though these guys are like 30, 35.
Coming of age story.
Yeah, even with the mother, who just like, you know, realizes how her life is and how much she's missed out on life. Check it out. I give this a, I don't even know, on cable. On cable.
Basic cable.
On basic cable. If you get a chance, check it out, or if you're on the airplane. Otherwise, I don't think you have to rush out and see it. It's basically for Duplass Brothers fans only. I will say that. So even with that, it's a slight disappointment. And the last film I want to mention is a film actually coming out next week. It's actually called Wreck 3, Genesis. This is a 2012 Spanish horror movie directed by Paco Plaza. I was going to save this for
is
next
this
week.
The, not sequel, but the trequel?
Well, the second sequel, I guess you can imagine, if you can say it like that. Now, the first two Wreck films basically restarted, rejuvenated the zombie franchise, doing the first-person view of the handheld camera of the zombie. Wreck 1 was good, amazing in fact. Wreck 2 is one of the greatest horror movies I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, Wreck 2 blew my mind.
I can't watch it because I feel so nauseous watching.
You didn't see Wreck 1, but you saw the American remake, which was called Quarantine. And that actually significantly sucked compared to Wreck. Wreck 3 Genesis actually kind of jettisons away the shaky cam and is told as a traditional horror zombie film. It's actually a prequel to the other two films. It takes place in a wedding, these couple getting married. One of their uncles at the wedding gets bit by a dog, and he's the start of the whole zombie plague that we see in Wreck 1 and Wreck 2. And he bites, obviously, a lot of people at the wedding. And it's a zombie love story.
So he gets bit, so he turns right away.
He doesn't turn right away. He turns maybe in like 10 hours.
Right, but then how did he bite people at the wedding?
Because he got bit by a dog earlier, then went to the wedding.
Right.
Then
why
when he was at the wedding, he transformed.
You never bite people.
No. At weddings. Basically, he doesn't start biting people. He falls off, like his wife's like, oh my god, what's going on? And he reaches out, bites the wife. Then more zombies come in. He's the first one, but the other people were around that weren't part of the wedding that started attacking the wedding party.
That's just weird.
Yeah, it's a zombie love story. It's not
love story.
It's really actually the weakest of the three. I don't know if it's because it's not shaky cam. There's parts shaky cam, but I want to say like 50% of the film is not shaky cam, and I think it actually kind of deters from the overall narrative of the movie. It's also more of a comedy. Is different than the first two films, even though it's the same director and same writer of the first two films. So, as a prequel, it relies heavily on the Judeo-Christian mythology that the first two were building on, but this one just flat out shows you everything. Right. It flat out shows you, like, these quote-unquote zombies can be stopped by the word of Christ, by a priest talking
and
reciting.
Right, but
they
don't know that.
No, but they do find out, but it's just a little weird. It's really ham-fisted a little, and I think... Again, maybe because of the comedy aspect, and maybe because it wasn't a first-person camera for shaky cam, it wasn't as strong as the original two. I will say, though, that you don't have to have seen the original two to know what's going on. You have to, like, in order to see part two, you have to see part one.
Right.
Here, you don't have to see any of them since it's a prequel, but it is the weakest. But still, I recommend it. I give this a, you know, DVD rental. It won't be a DVD rental. I'm sorry. Matinee kind of... DVD rental / matinee, right? I give this more of a DVD rental. Wait till it comes out in DVD. You don't have to necessarily see it in the theater. But definitely check it out, especially if you're a fan of the first two. Or if you're a fan of zombie films, which films I am. All together. All right, cool. With that out of the way, let's get into our feature review. It's a little late. It's maybe very 3 weeks late. But it's a film that, you know, honestly, I could talk about all day.
You're weird.
And it's a little ditty, little action film.
Little ditty.
Little ditty called Expendables 2.
Bonnie Ross, you made me a deal. I could have put you in the deepest, darkest hole, but I kept you out because I knew that one day would come when you were going to pay me back. And today's that day.
All right, now this 2012 80s action film is directed by Simon West, co-written by Sly Stallone, and it's a sequel to the 2010 movie Expendables. Now this film, we find our heroes in mourning, having lost one of their own, and bent on revenge on the evil mercenary, played by the always good-looking Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Which I thought looked weird.
He looked old. He does look old.
His eyes, I thought he had eye makeup on.
Who wants to...
Contested that.
It's he doesn't. Just, he just has bags under his eyes. Yeah, he who wants to bring the world to its knees in a nuclear fallout. It's up to our heroes to save the day with some help from old friends and be expendable. Now, this
film... That means nothing.
Yeah, it actually
You
means
know
nothing.
You just said nothing.
I said nonsense. This film stars Stallone, Statham, Willis, Couture, Cruz, Hemsworth, Lee, Schwarzenegger, Lundgren, Norris, and, of course, the legend himself as the villain, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Honestly, that should be the end. Review done. What more needs to be said?
We're missing Seagal.
Yeah, exactly. Bring your lunch from home. That's all I gotta say. Right. The review's over. I mean, honestly, that's...
You're so dumb.
And it's actually, you know, I played a trailer, as always, before this film, and it actually took me a really long time to find the correct trailer, because the trailers are essentially...
Essentially
20 seconds of dialogue, and then name cards. Stallone, you know, Statham. Right. So they're cool when you're watching it, but when you don't hear anything. You're just hearing, you know, title cards flash by.
You should override it with your voice saying, Stallone!
Yeah, I should do
Van
it.
Damme.
So people can hear it. So, now I gotta admit, while the first one, it was fun, I felt like it was incredibly uneven and dull at times, the first movie. I know how, is that possible, right? It's like...
Impossible.
Exactly, but I did find it dull.
It was, because the story... I mean, granted, it tried I said to do the too worst storyline. No,
the original tried to do too much drama, focus too much on the story instead of explosions.
It was too much.
Yeah,
yes.
Which was like, what am I watching this for? Well, the problems with the first movie are...
It was too much on the romance, I felt like.
Yeah, which was stupid.
Hello? Who the hell cares?
The problems with the first movie are a thing of the past, as this sequel ratchets the action and body count, you know, 100 times. Blowing past the original, making what honestly is one of the greatest love letters to 80s action movies ever made, starring the 80s, you know, 90s icons themselves. This is one big cameo movie, as actors flow in and out of the storyline, quote lines from their original action movies, even quoting each other's lines.
That was stupid. I mean, it was fantastic.
Exactly. I ended this podcast
I'm
right then.
I'm sorry.
This is homage.
I apologize.
This is homage to the extreme, as even Chuck Norris fact.
Lone Wolf?
Even Chuck Norris fact. Mem.
Himself, yes.
Even his fact mem plays a part.
Meme, however
you want to say it. Goddamn, this movie.
I mean, do people understand what that means? Like, all the Chuck Norris facts is like, Chuck Norris birthed himself, blah, 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 blah. It's like one of those.
Yeah, I forgot what this one
no,
was.
No, I remember what this one was. He's like, is it true that you were bit by a cobra? He's like, yes, I was bit by a cobra. And after 3 long days, the cobra died. It was like, what?
And then, you know, I just started clapping.
And then you died.
And then you died.
You died laughing.
Because you're just like, I can't believe they brought this into the movie. So, honestly, bravo to Simon West. Bravo to Sly Stallone. Sly Stallone, it was actually really sad what's been going on with Sly Stallone when he was promoting Expendables 2 with the death of his son and death of his sister.
Oh, I didn't know about the sister.
Yeah, after. It's like unbelievably sad time for Sly Stallone, who, like, you know, honestly, is one of the, as a 80s movie lover, as a guy, my hero, one of my heroes, you know, growing up, of course, Rocky, Rambo. There's a lot of Rambo quotes in this film. It's just amazing. It's so sad times, so our hearts go out to the Stallone family. It's just an amazing, incredible what happened. It's just back to back, and it's really tragic and sad. Now, going back to the movie, you know, there's a large core group of actors, but since there's so many actors, a lot of actors, like, if you're, slight spoilers here, but if you're going to see this for Lee, Lee's maybe in it for 5-10 minutes.
Who's going to see this movie for Lee?
Jet Li, I mean, if you're going to see it, like, Chuck Norris.
Like, three Asian people?
Chuck Norris, Bruce Willis, Stallone, they're all barely, like, 10.
They're
but
in it.
When
they're
in
not,
it, though, they steal the scenes.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Norris steals the entire movie.
Yes.
He basically does. Steals the entire movie, yes, by himself, and he's in for maybe, like,
Schwarzenegger is not
10
in
minutes.
It too much, but he does steal some
Him
scenes.
And Willis have, like, a kind of buddy cop thing going, which
yeah.
is actually really funny as well. So yeah, the action is over the top, insane, and classic, as our heroes are never hurt, effortlessly gliding through the thousands of bullets, taking down dozens of enemies with a swipe of the gun. Critically, it's really difficult to discuss this kind of film critically, because this is
you?
An 80s action
but why
film.
Why would you?
You know what to expect. Guys that just walk through thousands and thousands of bullets, defeat all their enemies, copious amounts of blood, the first opening 10 minutes, the body count must have been in the 500. It was amazing.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, it was amazing. And just, like, over-the-wall action, heavy, sudden hits of drama, and then revenge, and then just more action, just cool guy moments. So for me, yeah, this is the perfect movie. This is everything I was hoping Expendables 1 would be. Again, like Penny mentioned, the only one missing is Seagal, who turned this down because he's too big.
Whatever.
Yes, Seagal. All right, he'll be in the next one. You heard the rumors for the next one? I don't know if you heard about this, Penny, but for part 3, they're talking about Snipes is coming back, which is going to be
That's
amazing. Because I was trying to think, like, what other 80s
action.
Who else
would it be, right?
Then Nick Cage you're talking about, too, which, you know,
nice.
Might shatter my mind. Nick Cage and Statham together?
Oh my God.
My
so
two favorite actors?
Awful.
Might blow my
so
mind.
So is it going to be the bad mullet hair? Because bad mullet hair means bad
movies.
Movie.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully he just
when
has
When does
Nick
he ever
Cage
have
hair.
Good hair? Never.
I don't know. He
needs to do something with that.
So yeah, and hopefully Seagal is back. They're talking about a female Expendables,
Ooh.
Which I can't wait.
What
which
does
is
that
Cynthia
mean?
Rockwell. There's like classic 80s, like Lady Dragon.
I don't even know what.
Yeah,
that
I know
means.
The eight bad 80s films. You
what
could do Pangaroo,
Sonya?
Which would be awesome.
Red
Bridget
Sonya?
Nielsen,
That's
Michelle
awful.
Yao. You can do.
Yes.
You know, Michelle Rodriguez. You could do for the modern ones.
Yeah.
I think I would love to watch that too.
I would
blow
not.
My mind.
That's sounds
All right.
awful.
So, Penny, what did you think of? We're talking about Expendables 3 because that's
there's
how excited.
For me
what did you think of Expendables 2?
I don't think there's much for me to add. I mean, it was so stupid. It was fun, though. It was enjoyable because you know all these actors. You know what they're known for. And you know, they hammed it up big time. But it was exciting, fun, action-packed. It's ridiculous how action-packed. Not in the good way, like the earlier movie was a Redemption.
Red Redemption.
So, it's just, you know, just shit getting blown up, basically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. there's nothing... There's
it's an
80s
action film.
Right. There's no complications here. Nothing complicated. The plot was easy. But, I mean, it was enjoyable for what it was. For what it was.
This
so
movie
I'm
completely...
For what it was.
This movie blew my mind.
For what
And
it was.
Would easily, possibly make my top 5 of the year.
Okay.
Easily. This movie is everything.
That is Joshua Lewis.
This movie is everything I was hoping for. So, again, if you, like me, you grew up with Predator. If you grew up with all the Arnie movies. You grew up with the Die Hard movies, Rambo. Again, they quote each other's lines here. Come on. I'm not
what more could you ask for?
Like, honestly, this is like every fanboy 80s action film all dream. Right. And, again...
Bring your lunch from home.
Again...
Oh, I'm sorry, you're not done.
No,
Excuse
again,
me.
The problem with the original... is that it focused too much in the romance angle, too much
right,
on
this,
the
they
drama.
It. This was nice.
They didn't.
Did
there's
it
slight
was,
romance, but,
slight,
they don't,
but
it's just there.
It was not a focus.
Yeah.
It was not a thing.
And the drama, you know, it was a classic 80s film in the sense that nonstop action, and then something happens in heavy drama with just 10 minutes of somberness.
And
then
boom.
Again, heavy action. The original one is just like 50% drama, and I'm like, what's going on? You know what I mean? So, oh my God. This is like... Bring your lunch from home. And I would even recommend if this was an IMAX, which is sadly it wasn't.
You need help. No,
you
don't
know,
need it in IMAX. That's just
buy
weird.
The Blu-ray. Already go on Amazon pre-order the Blu-ray right now.
Really? That's stupid. All right,
and
now you're going above and beyond.
My kind of fear is that this actually movie costs a lot of money to make, surprisingly. I mean,
surprisingly,
all
with all the explosions.
Yeah, and all the actors in it. And it, I think, it's going to lose money. So I don't know if a part three is coming. Let's hope so, people. Watch this movie. This movie, it's honestly one of the greatest love. No, don't bring your kids. This is really violent. But one of the greatest love letters I've ever seen to love action letters. Movies. Yeah, to action movies. It All is. Right. All right. So Penny, I give it a bring lunch from home because you don't want to miss this. How about you, Penny?
DVD matinee. Bring your lunch from home because you do not
want to miss it. I'm not taking a DVD matinee from you for this film.
Well, bring your lunch from home because you do not want to miss it.
You know, it's like saying...
Read in between the lines,
it's
people.
Like saying,
read in between
it's like
the
saying
lines.
There Will Be Blood is maybe see it on the airplane. That's like saying the same thing to me.
I'm sorry. It's I like apologize. Saying, I apologize for offending you.
It's like saying The Artist and Hugo is, you know, maybe catches on basic cable. That's the same thing to me.
I apologize.
It's like saying It's like saying Citizen Kane. If you suddenly,
I think we're done here. Now right. To the end of our show, please.
Well, that's our review of Expendables 2. We both highly recommend it and give it a bring lunch from home because you do not want to miss it.
Do we?
All right, with that out of the way, let's move right on to the end of this week's show. All right, we'd like to thank everyone for joining us for another episode of the Cinema Cafe Podcast. Now, before we get to which movies we'll be reviewing for the next show, here are the upcoming new movie releases for the next 2 weeks, starting with September 7th. Again, as we missed a week, we didn't get to talk about the shows that were coming out from this week, rather, where the one we really wanted to see was Lawless. I'm a big fan of those kind of Depression-era kind of films, Penny, so I cannot wait to see that. And Guy Pearce.
Making a comeback.
Who says no to Guy Pearce? Now, again, September 7th. The Bradley Cooper as a struggling writer while still looking like Bradley Cooper, in the words. Why has he always got to be struggling? Look at him. He's not struggling for a date, I can tell you that. No. The director of JCVD returns with a thriller starring Henry Cavill, who must fight to save his kidnapped family in the cold light of day. An indie version of Bridesmaids comes out with another star-studded cast in The Bachelorette. The indie dramedy about an older woman finding young love in adultery in Hello, I Must Be Going. And lastly, The third film, as I just reviewed, in the Wreck horror franchise now with, again, no shaky cam in Wreck 3 Genesis. Now for the movies released on September 14th, Paul Thomas Anderson. The real Paul Anderson, not Paul Widescreen Anderson, although debatable who's the winner, as Paul W.S. Anderson is married to Mila Jovovich, returns with his sly commentary on religious cults like Scientology in The Master. I heard both sides, Penny, really good or really bad, so I'm really interested in seeing it, though. The fifth and what is hopefully the last film in the franchise hits with Resident Evil Retribution.
The other Anderson.
Exactly. A classic Pixar picture returns in 3D with Finding Nemo. The indie dramedy sophomore effort from the director of Happy Thank You More Please, I always think that's a crazy title, comes out in liberal arts. Richard Gere stars as a white-collar criminal in Arbitrage. The high school reunion dramedy that people are likening to Can't Hardly Wait, which is already 10 stars for me, Penny, 10 out of 10, comes out in 10 years.
Help.
I love
You're
Can't
old.
Hardly Wait.
You're too old to like something like that.
And lastly, I've seen probably Can't Hardly Wait like 50 times. And lastly, Nick
Nothing
Cage,
to brag about.
Lastly, Nick Cage must save his kidnapped daughter locked in a taxi cab's trunk as he goes full on Cage, Penny, in Stolen. So I know a lot of
awesome.
Jazz, Penny. Any you're interested in seeing?
None. The Master, maybe?
Master coming. I'm actually interested in seeing. We'll probably finally see Lawless. I already reviewed Wreck 3. Really want to see Liberal Arts, because I'm a big Can't Hardly Wait fan, Penny. And got to see Cage.
10 years is the Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh, yeah. That's what. Oh, I'm sorry. 10 years. I do want to see Liberal Arts as well, though. And I really want to see Nick Cage go full on Cage.
That's dumb.
In Stolen. Kind of reminds me of Safe, that Jason Statham movie that I've been seeing the Blu-ray trailers keep coming out now, because I guess it's coming out on DVD finally. If you get a chance, people, now it's on home video, check out Safe.
No, thank you.
Saving a little Asian girl from the Russian mob. Check it out.
Yes.
If you have any comments or feedback, you can reach us at cinemacafepodcast@gmail.com. Also, remember to review the show on iTunes and check out our blog at cinemacafepodcast.blogspot.com. My name is Joshua Lute.
And this is Penny Lamb.
Have a great 2 weeks. Again, it's great to be back. Welcome back, Penny, tanned and rejuvenated.
But I'm getting there.
We apologize for missing the week. We'll be back on schedule in 2 weeks. I know Penny's looking forward to that. And
always.
We come back. The start of the football season will already happen. Fantasy football and my Jets will be 0-2, I'm sure. So look forward to that, and happy movie watching.